Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are so close to the weekend. Woo woo! I can't help it. The weekend just elicits these involuntary, excited noises. It's good to be this close to the weekend. I don't have any incredible plans for the weekend because what's her name? Tropical Storm Faye is working her way toward my neighborhood and many neighborhoods in my area. For those of you who live, well, really, anywhere along the eastern seaboard, the northern half of the eastern seaboard, Faye is bearing down. And at least in the New York City area, New Jersey, Long Island, and on up into parts of New England, there are tropical storm warnings. So I will admit, I felt a little bit silly on Thursday evening watering all of my plants. I was outside with the hose. Sometimes weather forecasts, they don't know exactly the track of a storm. And it was a really hot day, 97 degrees. That's funny. 97 degrees heat index in my neighborhood. And so the flowers were looking a little thirsty. And so I did go ahead and water, but I didn't spend quite as much time out there. Just in case we don't end up getting the downpour, the torrential downpour from Tropical Storm Faye, I wanted to be sure my flowers were happy. And they are. Do you know, there's probably half dozen orange lilies that are open and dozens more that are ready to bloom, which is just, it makes me so happy. It's just the coolest gift. In my backyard, the hydrangea with its blue and purple flowers, I don't know how there's a mix, but it's gorgeous. And I had no idea what a butterfly bush was, but apparently I have one of those as well. And the flowers are purple, conical, almost like you would see on the top of an ice cream cone. I mean, I generally eat my ice cream in a dish, but it's still really cool. Purple ice cream cones. So the flowers got their water on Thursday evening, and they may get a lot more coming up over the course of Friday and Saturday. So I didn't make any major plans for the weekend, but I did do a good 45-minute bike ride on Thursday evening, just before the sun went down. It was only 80 by that point, and there was a nice breeze. Didn't see the unicorn again, unfortunately. I did look for the unicorn. I don't know if the unicorn is it. Oh, no, I do know it's a he because it had a small rack of horns. So I didn't see the white albino out there anywhere, but I'm going to keep my eyes peeled. It was a good Thursday. It was a good Thursday afternoon. Talked to my niece, who is in the process of buying her first car. So to this point, my brother and sister-in-law have provided the vehicle for her, but they've said to her, your turn, go find yourself a car. And so she is test driving a bunch of different cars. So we talked about vehicle purchases, and she's also, this is really cool, in the process of renting or trying to lease her first townhouse with friends of hers from college. So she's getting ready to move out. It's a big time for the family right now. We're about to see Deanna fly the nest. I'm so, so proud of her. So that was cool. It was a nice respite from what's been some discouraging news from the world of football, though I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. I still say that there are reasons to be cautiously optimistic. And I read through all of your comments on Twitter and Facebook. I responded to some of them, but we were all in our feels on the last show, and that's okay. It's good to express ourselves. It's good to share our feelings. I don't think we do enough of that, honestly. But we're always here to provide some free therapy sessions when it comes to how you're feeling about sports. And it's precarious out there, I'm telling you. As long as we have more questions without answers than we do have concrete answers, well, Yeah, we're going to be teetering as it were in the sports world. But I will say this, if baseball continues to inch forward, if baseball continues to keep its positive test rate as low as it has been in the first week, we will have baseball 2 weeks from tonight. In fact, 2 weeks from right now, we'll be talking about the first doubleheader of the 2020 season. Now, I know I've said to you, I'm withholding my passion, my anticipation, my excitement, my enthusiasm, my energy. I'm withholding that until we get closer. Plus, I don't think baseball deserves it so much just yet. But I got to tell you, just saying out loud that 2 weeks from tonight, we could have real live baseball games that count to talk about. That gives me a bit of a thrill.
Yes!
A thrill and a thrill. Don't want to count my chickens before they hatch from their eggs. I do love eggs. I try not to think about what those eggs would turn into, though, when I'm eating them, because it's just... Have you ever had an egg with feathers? Have you ever seen one? That actually happened to my mom and I when I was younger. We got eggs from the store. We've always been egg people in our house. And we once had an egg with a feather. I swear to you, it was cracked, and there. Don't ask me how it happened. I'm just telling you, it grossed us out. Obviously, it was jarring to see the little feather. But we did have one, and safe to say, we didn't eat that particular egg. I don't know what we did with the egg, huh? It's an interesting question.
I don't have an explanation for what happened.
Neither do I, Coach. Neither do I. Anyway, I can't count the eggies before they hatch, or the chickens before they hatch. No chickadees just yet, but you know me. I get pretty excited, and whether it's opening day in March, whether it's the start of football season in September, I mean, I generally live my annual calendar based on the sports season and what's happening on the sports calendar, and I think our shows have been fine. Well, fine. They've been good. We've had good shows. We've had good conversation. I'm sure there are people who aren't as interested to listen to the show when we don't have a lot of games going on. So I totally get that. Not to mention we have people who are still not back to work, and so they're out of their regular routines. But I would say for the most part, we've had healthy traffic on our social media, and you know, we've gotten calls, and because we've never been a straight sports show anyway, it's not that big of a change for us to talk about food or movies or what we're doing outside of work and sports. And so, you know, family and entertainment and personal lives, we dive into all of that here on the show, and I've never been afraid of that. I'm probably better at talking about that stuff than I am talking about sports. And so I think our shows have been good. I'm proud of the work we've done, but it doesn't mean I'm not looking forward to shows that are driven by actual events. So I'm trying to temper my enthusiasm, but I'll just be honest. I suck at that, whether it's sports or anything else. I'm one of those people who loves to look ahead and have things to look forward to. And we're getting closer now, and I mean, my heart rate isn't going up. Oh, heavens. I better not have a fever, because that would be a problem. But 2 weeks from tonight, we will hopefully have baseball games to talk about. The Yankees at the Nationals, and then the Giants and Dodgers renewing their rivalry. And I'm going to zip it now. Well, I can't completely zip it, because that would be really bad radio. But I am going to, I'm going to breathe. I'm obviously not wearing a mask, because you wouldn't be able to hear that as well. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for joining us. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Phone number 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Coming up in 30 minutes, we're going to spend some time in Kansas City, which is not only the home of the Chiefs and the Royals, but it's also part of the Big 12 country and Big 12 conference. I tell you, one of the coolest sporting events I ever went to. It's almost weird to think about it now, but it was an absolutely incredible atmosphere, though I've never been colder in my life. It was a Big 12 championship at Arrowhead Stadium between Kansas State and Oklahoma, and I was on the sidelines. This is early in my sports career, and so I was a talk show host, but I was more a reporter at that point than I was. I mean, I did do part of a show. I was a sports and news director for a show in Oklahoma, but I was more serving as a reporter and an insider at that point in my career, which was great. Taught me good journalism. Anyway, I remember I went to this Big 12 championship, and for the first half, I was on the sidelines. And by halftime, it was so cold, I could not feel my feet. And so I deserted the sideline, as cool as that perspective was. I deserted the sideline, and I spent the second half in the press box. Man alive, it was cold. But it was one of the coolest atmospheres I've ever experienced in person in college football. Half the stadium was purple, K-State colors. The other half crimson and cream, OU colors. And the noise. Arrowhead Stadium, this is, I've never seen an NFL game there, but I have seen this incredible college football Big 12 championship there. And the noise was incredible. You couldn't hear yourself think. I mean, it was awesome. And so we will spend some time in Kansas City coming up in 30 minutes. We'll talk to Dani Welniak, who is not only a former football player herself, but is also the Channel 5 sports director there. And so we'll talk to her about the biggest stories right now that come from Kansas City and the Heartland. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're also going to hear from the reigning National League MVP and the MVP just before him. So both Christian Yelich and Cody Bellinger speaking out about the season and the challenges on Thursday. Also, Julian Edelman with some poignant and powerful words as a Jewish man to DeSean Jackson. And he said he waited a couple of days to speak out because he wanted to be thoughtful. And I certainly do appreciate that. We've heard from a lot of people, mostly critical, which is why Julian's comments stand out. He starts out by being complimentary of DeSean. Of course, they're both veteran receivers in the NFL. And he also empathizes with what DeSean, as an African-American, must have gone through in his own life. And there's an invitation by Julian at the end of his Instagram post. And so it stood out to me because it was different. It wasn't critical, nor was it wildly supportive like Steven Jackson, which I still don't understand. But either way, because Julian put so much thought into it, and because it was a bridge, it was a handout as opposed to a barrier. I thought it was worth listening to, and I'd like to play it for you. But let's start in these next few minutes, and then as we head toward the bottom of the hour with not a fatal blow to college football, but definitely a stinging blow. I would like to hear your reaction as college football fans. I know we speak to many of you. We converse with many of you. And I know many of you have been nervous about the fall. And actually, games are scheduled to start inside of 6 weeks. Now, with this news from the Big Ten that all of their fall sports, this is not just football, but of course football feels it and has more of a ripple effect, more of an impact across the sports landscape. But all fall sports will only play conference games. And this comes on the heels of a much smaller conference that doesn't even have a conference championship. And in fact, it's not a revenue-producing sport in the Ivy League, but it's a second domino to drop in the college football world. So we hear from Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, on the Big Ten Network. All fall sports will only play conference opponents, which means 36 different football teams are affected. Some big games like Ohio State at Oregon. Man, what a great clash that would have been in mid-September. How about this one? Wisconsin at Notre Dame. No, not at Notre Dame. Wisconsin and Notre Dame, excuse me, playing at Lambeau Field. So it would have been more of a pro-Wisconsin crowd, you would think, in early October. But Mr. Warren didn't want to wait any longer, as opposed to maybe waiting and seeing, as opposed to trying to put together more protocols or figure out if there's another way to do this. He felt like it was most important to make this decision on Thursday and to announce it and share it with the rest of the world.
From a collaborative basis, being in communication on a regular basis with our chancellors, our presidents, our athletic directors, our head football coaches, that the time had come for us to make an announcement. I mean, this allows us to be able to just take another step in this entire process. I mean, this is a complicated time, complicated world that we're living in with the COVID-19 pandemic. And so what we're doing is relying on the expert advice of our medical advisors. You know, we have our Big Ten Emerging Infectious Disease Committee and also all of our other Big Ten doctors and trainers. And so we made a vow early on that first and foremost, we would put the health, the safety, and the wellness of our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions. So we felt that this was an appropriate time to make this announcement.
Once again, that's Kevin Warren, the Big Ten commissioner, talking about the timing. Here we are. It's still early July. We're barely past Independence Day, and they've already made this announcement. Now, how does this affect the rest of college football? Well, we had varying reactions around the other Power Five conferences. None of the others have made this drastic of a declaration. We know that the ACC is delaying all of its fall sports until September 1st at the earliest. So they've tried to push back a little more, which of course affects the start of some of their sports, but it doesn't necessarily eclipse all non-conference matchups. The SEC is scheduled to have a big meeting early next week, according to multiple sources. SI.com was the first to report that meeting. So it's league officials, it's athletic directors, and they're trying to figure out what to do. Big 12 did, in fact, issue a statement via its athletic director, Bob Bowlesby, and it seems like he was maybe taken aback. Seems like he wasn't super thrilled that the Big Ten made this decision, maybe without either consulting. I don't know how much consultation there was among the Power Five, but at least they all aren't making these decisions and making these announcements all at the same time. And so I don't know how it will affect the others outside of the fact that you do have a lot of non-conference opponents scheduled for the Big Ten that will not have those games. We'll either have to fill those games with other teams, which is really difficult to do at this point, or wipe them out altogether. And you know there's a lot of revenue that's affected as well. And so there are ripple effects. It doesn't necessarily mean that there are other conferences which will make this same drastic step. However, there are some Power Five conferences, and I just mentioned Oregon, so you know the Pac-12's affected. Notre Dame is sort of independent, not really. You know how it goes with Notre Dame. And Jack Swarbrick, who is their athletic director for the Irish, has indicated that it's less likely that the Irish will start football on time. And so there definitely are more minor dominoes that are dropping. But will we see the other conferences make this same step? It's one that's been bandied about, kind of talked about and discussed over the past, I would say, 6 weeks maybe. And you've got conference games that it sounds like might end up being moved around. So here's something I heard reported from Heather Dinich, that the Big Ten at least may reshuffle its schedule so that division games are early in the season. And that way, if they end up having to shorten the season, at least they've gotten the divisional opponents out of the way. So a little bit more from Kevin Warren, plus the Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith. And I'd love to get your reaction. Does this make you less confident? A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter, also on our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us on our final show of the work week. We're just getting started. A lot to talk about. The NBA launching its first practices in Orlando. they're forging ahead despite some players not being there and teams just showing up again today and going through more rounds of testing. But I applaud these leagues. Baby steps. You can get there with baby steps. Just it seems like it's an extensive process, very meticulous. But if they're willing to go through it, then I'm going to watch.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Longtime Ohio State football play-by-play voice Paul Keels on Learfield IMG College. And Justin Fields had that rushing touchdown in the non-conference not quite a year ago, but September of 2019. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Athletic Director Gene Smith of OSU, Ohio State. It's really funny. When I was growing up, because so much of my family is from Northeast Ohio, I never really thought about how there was more than one OSU out there. And then I moved to Oklahoma and started covering OU and Oklahoma State football and realized, oh, goodness, there's OSUs all over the place. Anyway, the Ohio State University, Gene Smith was asked, in the wake of the Big Ten decision to cancel all non-conference sporting events in the fall, not just football, but it affects him in a major way because of their non-conference, how concerned is he about the season taking place at all?
Well, I'm really concerned. I mean, that's a great question. That is the question of the day. I mean, I am very concerned. I think in our last conversation, whatever that was, I was, you know, cautiously optimistic. I'm not even there now.
That's unfortunate, but I feel the same way. I don't know at what point exactly my confidence level started to drop. I don't think it was a drop off a cliff all at once. I think it's been more of a steady decline, only because of what feels like consistently bad news. In Orlando, even though the MLS is back tournament had another game on Thursday, Nashville was forced to pull out of that tournament. And so Nashville and Dallas both not taking place. Now, Nashville didn't have as many cases as Dallas. In fact, had about half. But still, MLS is taking no chances. And somehow these players ended up with the virus from the time they were tested and were supposed to get to Orlando and the time they showed up. And that's the point of the nonstop testing, is that you catch it. Maybe there's a chance that, and I don't know everything that there is to know, so please don't send me your tweets about this and that. But maybe there's a chance that you can have it and it doesn't show up on an initial test. Not really sure. We certainly know that athletes can be asymptomatic, which is why they're testing over and over and over and over again. And so Nashville had a handful of cases, not even a half dozen, had a handful of cases. But MLS decided it was not in their best interest to have these guys out there, and they weren't going to wait. And so they've now reshuffled their World Cup-style groups. Six groups with four teams each, and both Dallas and Nashville are on the outside looking in. So it feels like consistently bad news. I know that's not the case. We tend to talk more about the bad news, of course, but NASCAR's continue to run. Jimmy Johnson is clear to go this weekend at Kentucky. Golf is moving into its second month. How about that? The PGA Tour, women's soccer, men's soccer, they're both out there. UFC is getting ready for its Fight Island, UFC 251. So there's been a lot of good news, but there's also been some news that's tough to stomach. So what about the non-conference opponents? And for Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith, that does include what was supposed to be a marquee matchup against Oregon in mid-September.
Yeah, I've talked to all three of our non-conference opponent athletic directors, including Oregon, of course, and we've agreed to talk in the future, you know, to see if we can try and reschedule our contests.
Michigan was supposed to go to Washington. What a great trip that would have been for Michigan. But that was scheduled for September 5th. Man, that's inside of 2 months. You also had Iowa State at Iowa that was supposed to take place, which, of course, is a great in-state opportunity. Penn State at Virginia Tech, that's another one. So I don't even know if my niece she kind of goes to football games, not really into sports, but it's a big deal for her campus that VaTech won't be able to host Penn State and Cincinnati at Nebraska, another one. And then we talked about the game at Lambeau Field, which would have been an incredible scene for both Wisconsin and Notre Dame. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's quick talk to Paul, who's in Florida. Paul, I'll give you about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Amy, love the show.
Thank you.
The chatter on the sports talk down here in Jacksonville is that the SEC is going to go to an all-conference schedule and one game with the ACC. And that's pretty cool because there's some natural rivalries there, Florida State,
sure.
Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson, and there you go.
It would be great if they could keep those rivalries. And in most cases, they're relatively short travel distances.
Right.
In fact, you've got neutral sites in there. And so it would be great if they could keep those, not only for the revenue, which, of course, we're talking about a lot of lost revenue, not just TV, but also for the conferences, the schools. They make a lot of money on these games. Certainly not having fans will be different. But I still say some football, even without fans, is better than no football at all.
Right.
All right, Paul, it's good to hear from you. What part of Florida are you in?
I'm in Jacksonville.
Oh, you're in Jacksonville.
The Jaguars. Go Minshew Mania.
Wait, don't you want to say the
Duval.
Thanks, Paul.
You bet.
I stink at those kind of cheers, but I try to do it whenever we talk to someone from Jacksonville. So, college football fans, what do you think? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And coming up, we're going to spend some time in the Big 12 heartland. So Kansas City, you've got K-State. Obviously, Kansas is not located right there, but in Lawrence. And there's maybe not a thrilled reaction from the Big 12 commissioner. But also, it's been a big week for the Kansas City Chiefs and the Royals. They're getting set to start play with their summer camp. So we'll welcome Dani Welniak, who played football herself, actually won a Super Bowl, and women's Super Bowl playing herself. So she'll join us from Kansas City straight ahead.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Truly all sunshine and roses right now for Patrick Mahomes, the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, the Super Bowl champions. I don't know what else they could ask for in this springtime, except for maybe football to start on time so they can defend their championship. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That is the voice of Mahomes. It's unmistakable, right? It's become one of those voices that you can recognize without having any identification. Just another unique thing about the Kansas City quarterback. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're pleased to welcome to the show Dani Welniak, who is the sports director for KCTV5. And Dani, it certainly is, I don't know, I'm not sure you could ask for anything better right now for the Chiefs than to have this contract behind them, but it's been a cool week for the Chiefs to be able to get this done. What's been the reaction among fans in your area?
Well, I think it's been just that of elation, Amy, because obviously during this time we've all been kind of down. We just want sports to be back. The Royals just started working out in their summer camp, getting ready for their regular season. But the uncertainty with what's going to come during the NFL season has kind of worn heavy on the Kansas City community. But the fact that this kind of didn't really come out of nowhere, because we expected it to happen here either this offseason or next offseason. But for the next 12 years, this community and this fan base that has just been so thirsty for a good quarterback, now they finally have it. And not only do they have a Super Bowl ring under their belt and can celebrate that during this time, but now they've got this guy for the next 12 years. So it's a 10-year extension, but he's still got two more years of his rookie contract. So there's going to be a lot of winning football here in Kansas City. At least that's the expectation. So the fans are super pumped about this.
Now, Dani, you played women's pro football, and you were a captain for the Dallas Diamonds, got to play in a Super Bowl on your own right. As a receiver and a running back, what makes, so from your perspective, what makes Patrick Mahomes a great QB?
Well, I think there's a lot of different things. I think, first of all, it's his leadership skills and just the way he's able to go into the huddle and command this offense. Then, secondly, I think it's just his uncanny ability to just pull things out of thin air. He's a magician. We refer to many of his plays. We're like, man, that is Mahomes' magic, because you have no idea where that comes from. And at the end of the day, when you have a chance to talk to him and even talk to some of his receivers, they don't even know how it happens. It's just instinct. He knows that his receiver is going to be there. He has that connection with those guys. And a lot of it comes from just the dedication and the hard work that he puts in off the field. It's what the people around the country don't see that makes him so different when he's staying after practices and working on those no-look passes, or he's trying different things out during training camp. And Kelce and his receivers are willing to go to high school fields and just throw together. Obviously, this time during COVID and the pandemic puts a little bit of a hindrance on that. But that's what most people don't see, is that it's not just what goes on, you know, under the lights, between the lines. It's what he does off the field as well that makes him so unique.
So as someone who won a Super Bowl yourself and then covered a Super Bowl with the Chiefs, how do the two things compare, the two experiences?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I do have a unique perspective, because winning one myself was so cool, and it's one of those experiences that I will never, ever forget. Getting to kiss our trophy and then our ring ceremony was just phenomenal. And the moments, I look back at it now and I can remember everything so clearly, because it was such a big moment and it was so much fun to be a part of. And I remember every single play. Like, there was one where I almost scored a touchdown on a post route, but the safety came out of nowhere and ended up pushing me out of bounds 2 yards from the end zone. And so I was so frustrated. But that, in comparison to covering one, I mean, it's so different, but it's the magnitude that both of these events have for athletes in general, and how big the Super Bowl was in Miami, and the fact that Chiefs fans hadn't seen that in 50 years was just one of the coolest things to cover, because there were fans here in Kansas City who have literally had life savings for a Super Bowl to go wherever they go. Aww. If they get an opportunity to see it again. And they did, which I think is so fun. And being able to cover it, the confetti and the fact that the Chiefs came back and the way that they won that game was something that I think a lot of us will never forget. And just to see afterwards on the field, just all the players, that most of them can be very stoic during the season. They don't show a whole lot of emotion because, you know, that was the end goal. It was Super Bowl or bust for these guys. But to see some of them playing in the confetti and even crying, and Patrick immediately going to find his dad after they won and telling him how much he loved him, I just thought that was so cool to see. So it's just two kind of different perspectives, but still both two very beautiful and unique and amazing opportunities to be a part of.
Danny Welniak is the sports director for KCTV5 in Kansas City with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So after I saw the guidelines that were released by the NFL, or I don't even know if they were supposed to be released, but they were leaked, from the fans' perspective, it seems, okay, well, these aren't that crazy, but the players themselves are just going nuts over them, calling them silly and stupid. And so the thing about no jersey exchanges, of course, you've got various guidelines about distance and locker rooms. And Richard Sherman said something along the lines of, are you kidding? We're going to go out there and, we're going to play a contact sport for an hour, and then you're going to turn around and tell us we can't be anywhere near our teammates or our opponents. So again, as someone who played, you were a running back, so you understand kind of being there, in the trenches. How realistic are these?
I find it so hard to fathom that you're going to limit certain things while also attempting to play a contact sport. And from what we've heard just over the past couple of days, I know the Baltimore Ravens came out and said they were going to have like 14,000 fans at their games. And the Chiefs came out and said that, it's going to be limited. They didn't give us an exact number, but season ticket holders have been impacted by that. So you're going to have fans in the stands, but you're not allowed to swap jerseys. And there's no media allowed in the locker rooms. They're also going to monitor the locker rooms with the guys in there. But you're on top of each other and you're touching each other and you're sweating on each other. I just, I, I think, honestly, that there's a lot of those protocols that are in place, and they're trying to get it all figured out. And I know they're listening to the medical professionals, but there's a lot of things that kind of contradict each other. And I definitely agree with the players, because having been in the trenches myself, you're getting sweat and spit and nastiness all over each other. So unless they come up with hazmat suits for these players, I just think it's going to be really difficult for them to monitor and to take away, like, jersey swaps and stuff like that after the game. Or even, like, I mean, they said anything after the game. So even, like, prayers after the game, or getting together with, like, even your own teammates. I just think it's a lot to try to monitor when you're dealing with a contact sport, because it's so, so different than, like, baseball or even MLS.
For sure. And as someone who played college basketball, and I'm sure it was the same way for you, I always came away with cuts and scrapes, and usually there was blood drawn, fingernails, like whatever it was. You never came out of a game unscathed. And so, it definitely seems, as you say, really kind of contradictory. You're going to go out there and throw them into a war zone, like is typical of an NFL game, and then you're going to tell them, oh, but, you know, don't shake hands after, and don't get anywhere near the guy you just spit on. Like, I don't know. It just makes no sense. We also had it wasn't a fatal blow for college football, but we certainly had an announcement that put a damper on the upcoming season. I think makes people even a little more nervous. The Big Ten deciding no non-conference opponents for all of its fall sports. What was the reaction inside Big 12 country?
It was very strange, because I think, so here in Kansas City, we cover K-State, KU, and also Mizzou, which is in Columbia, Missouri. So you have SEC kind of country as well. And so Bob Boolsby from the Big 12 ended up issuing a statement. He seemed very taken aback by the fact that he was going to have to make a decision about non-con games and fall sports. And then when it came to Jim Stirk, the athletic director for Missouri, we had a chance to talk to him today too. And he said, you know, it's not really unexpected for this stuff to happen, but we're going to have more meetings and more, you know, Zoom calls in the future to try to figure out our course of action within the SEC. So we don't know what we're doing just yet. So I think that there are a lot of the Power Five conference, you know, athletic directors, commissioners that are trying to kind of delay the inevitable, I guess you could say, because you see the domino effect starting to happen. And I relate it back to the NCAA tournament, where you had the conference tournament start canceling. The Ivy League was the first one to do so. Right. And then you just started seeing this domino effect. And then it ended up getting back to the Big 12 in the Kansas City area and all across the country. And I think that's what you're going to end up seeing with fall sports and with college football as well, which is unfortunate, and nobody wants to hear that. But if you can get some kind of college football in, I think that's a huge deal for the Power Five conferences, because they rely so heavily on the income that the football seasons bring. So I think Big 12 is trying to push this off as long as possible, and maybe have to pull the trigger very last. Maybe the SEC feels the same way, because Jim Stirk seemed a little taken aback by it. But I think that it's going to end up being that domino effect like we saw during the NCAA tournament, Amy.
Ah, that's so it's just sad. It's discouraging. But I'm with you. I'd rather take some football than no football, even if it's without fans. Danny Welniak from Kansas City with us here after hours. So I just have about 60 seconds. How much buzz around the Royals right now?
It's kind of weird, because obviously with the 60-game season, the Royals haven't been great over the past couple of years, but they believe, a lot of the fans here believe, that they actually have a shot at doing well, because it's more of a sprint and the bullpen's kind of set up to be successful with a shorter season. So there is hope and there's optimism here in Kansas City. And just the fact that you're going to have baseball back when we weren't sure we were going to have it is huge. So I think most of the people around here are pretty excited to see what the Royals got in the tank. New manager and Mike Matheny, and a couple new faces as well. So should be fun.
And Mike, of course, brings some credibility from his time with the Cardinals. All right. You can find Danny on Twitter at KCTV Danny, D-A-N-I. She's the sports director for KCTV with a lot going on there in Kansas City. Danny, thanks so much for a couple of minutes, especially for staying up with us and coming on live.
Hey, you bet. Anytime.
It's really cool to hear from the heartland there with KC. And as Danny talked about, there's SEC, there's Big 12. Of course, the Royals are in the midst of their summer camp. They have had a couple of positive COVID tests, but a lot of the guys have said they're excited. You also have the Chiefs, really the biggest story of the week in sports, which is Patrick Mahomes and his humongous contract extension. And so good to hear her perspective as someone who played football. And I don't know if the NFL really does expect its athletes to stick to these guidelines pre and post game. I don't even know how you police it. Maybe police is the wrong word. How you monitor. But Deshaun Watson tweeted that it was damn silly in all capital letters. Richard Sherman said it's the perfect example of NFL thinking in a nutshell. Players engage in a full contact game, and then they're told it's not safe to exchange jerseys. So we'll go through these protocols and these stipulations. Every effort to space lockers 6 feet apart in the home and visitors' locker rooms. And they're actually suggesting plexiglass in between the lockers after they go out there in the trenches and spit on each other and bleed on each other.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.